If you would take your Bibles and go to the Epistle of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. Today's October the 16th, 2022. We're going to start in Philippians, chapter 2. I don't see it much anymore, but there used to be a bumper sticker you would see from time to time, and it said, "What would Jesus do?" And I guess the point of that was to maybe think about things that we do and maybe be more Christ-like in our actions. I guess that's what it meant. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is the head of the body. The Bible says that in all things he should have the preeminence. So as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow his great example. And there's lots in the Gospels, as you know, about Jesus Christ. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. I didn't really want to teach on what would Jesus do, but I thought it might be more profitable. What did Jesus think? So we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Chapter 2 of Philippians, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you keep your finger here and go back to Luke chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at the very first recorded words in Scripture of Jesus Christ. And I think you're familiar with the incident in Luke chapter 2, verse 42. When he, Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So they traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus, 12 years old, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a whole day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Yeah, I guess they would. We've lost the Messiah. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple at 12 years old, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. At such an early age. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Verse 49, and he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye or know you not that I must be about my father's business?" At 12 years old. And there he was with the doctors and in having quite a discussion that people were absolutely amazed. I think you probably understand that the Bible culture, in the Bible culture, a son served his father. A son in Bible culture worked the family business. A son, going back to Philippians now, where it said not equal, where he thought it, in verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A son was considered equal with his father, and a servant was not. equal to his master. Sons and servants in Bible times served the same way. You know, they did same tasks, but a son was an heir and a servant was not. So in light of the biblical culture, Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. And that's why verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, that would be obedient to God's word, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that's future, a day's coming when that will happen. But Jesus Christ, as a faithful son, served his Father. He went about his Father's business, and as born-again ones, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are sons. And so, understanding the Bible culture, when a lady reads those verses, we're sons of God. Well, I'm not a male. No, but in Bible culture, according to God, we are sons of God. In fact, it says we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so, as sons of God, we can follow the example of Jesus Christ. What did he think? He rightly thought of himself as the Son of God and served his Father, and so should we. You don't need to turn there, but in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him. Quite a statement. But back in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus think? Well, let's look at a few, because there's lots of examples in the Gospels of many different topics. The end times, finances, family, lots of different things that we can read, but we're going to just look at a few this morning. So we'll start in Luke chapter 20 to just look at a few things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 20. Everybody there? Let's go to verse 19. The chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him, and they sent forth spies. We're in Luke chapter 20, verse 20. They sent forth spies which should feign themselves, pretend that they were just men. They're so holy, that they might take hold of his words. I was trying to trap him, so that they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that you say and teach rightly, neither accept'st thou the person of any, but you just teach the way of God truly. Oh, you're so wonderful. Little quick question here. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? What do you think, Jesus? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Well, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Quite a nice answer, right? He didn't begin a teaching series on the evils of Rome and their occupation of Israel. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, the things that are God's, unto God's. And then I would have said, and leave me alone. But another one in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew He wasn't oblivious to what was going on in his day and time, but he had high priority, and that was God and God's word. In Matthew 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Hey, doth not your master pay tribute?" He said, "Well, yes, he does." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented or preceded him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said unto him, "Well, strangers, that's how it should be." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." They really shouldn't have to pay. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first comes up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." The miracle here was the first fish that came up had money in his mouth. It wasn't unusual to get a fish that had money in its mouth. If you know some of the Bible customs, many times in their worshiping God or whatever, they would throw money into places of water, you know, to give to God. And there were fish that would see sparkling things, certain fish, and they would grab it. So Peter just said, "First fish you get, bring it up, go pay it." So he didn't, at this point, you know, he talked it over Peter. "Peter, what do you think?" "Well, yeah, go catch a fish, pay him." The point is, he didn't organize a movement to get this changed. "This shouldn't be doing this here." And a whole teaching series on it. Let's look at something else. Go to Luke chapter 11. How about family? Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 27. "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company," we're in Luke 11, 27, "a woman lifted up her voice," in other words, she said this rather loudly, "and she said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." Blessed is your mother. Oh my gosh, to have a child like you. Blessed is your mother. She's fantastic. Oh, blessed is your mother. And what did Jesus think? "But he said unto her, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Did Jesus love his mother? Well, of course he loved his mother. Did he think highly of her? Of course he did. Remember at the crucifixion? "Take care. That's your mother. That's your son. Take care of her." Right before he died. Of course he loved his mother. But blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's what Jesus thought. In Matthew 12, a little more about family. Matthew 12. Verse 46. "While he," Jesus Christ, "while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him." So mom and some of his brothers came, and we need to talk to Jesus. "Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." They need to talk with you. "But he answered and said unto them," unto him that told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, The same is my brother and sister and mother. Of course, he loved his mother. Of course, he loved his brothers. Of course, he loved his family. But what did Jesus think? For Jesus Christ, God was first above all else. There's other verses about family that are even more direct, but Jesus Christ placed God's word above family. God and his word came first in his life. So, you know, we love our family, but God's word is our priority. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And speaking of God's word, go to John chapter 17. What did Jesus Christ think about his Father's words, the written words, the scriptures? John 17, this is a prayer before he was arrested. This whole chapter is a prayer. But we'll just start in verse 14. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word. Jesus Christ spoke God's word. And the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or from the evil one. They are not of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That is what Jesus Christ thought of the scriptures, that it was the truth. It's true. And all of it's true. Last week we looked at that verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Jesus Christ was very much in favor of God's word. And he believed and said, it is the truth. You want the truth? Go to the scriptures. In Matthew 22, here's another one looking at God's word. What Jesus Christ thought about God's word. And, you know, throughout the Gospels, you see how the religious leaders were trying to trap him, trying to catch him in his words, trying to act like they were spiritual and really wanted an answer just so they could trip him up. In Matthew 22, verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. So the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And just to show you how these people were after Jesus Christ, they are now going to ask him a question about the resurrection. Saying, verse 24, Master, Moses said, now we're going to get into it. Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. That's true. So now they come up with this unbelievable scenario. You know, what if the moon went over to another planet? I mean, verse 25. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also, after marrying seven brothers in a row. Therefore, in the resurrection, you don't even believe in the resurrection. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, since you quoted Moses, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and now he's going to quote Exodus. Who wrote Exodus? Okay. Moses said, well, gee, have you ever read Moses? But look what Jesus Christ's opinion, what he thought of God's word, that it is God speaking to you. God speaking to you. So when we read the scriptures, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When I open the book and start reading, it is what? God speaking to us. God's words. You know, over 20 times, I think, in the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, it is written, it is written. In other places, have you not read? It is said. Look at Matthew 15. We'll see one of those back up just a bit. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Here they come. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Why are they breaking the tradition? He answered and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Wow. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. He that totally forgets about his mother and father. That's what the word of God says. But you say, verse 5, but you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. And I think in another gospel it says Corban. And the gift that they're referring to here, the tradition was, this gift is a gift to the treasury in the temple. And the tradition was that if you gave that gift, then you didn't have to worry about mom and dad taking care of them. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Boy, he was having none of that, was he? Whew! You know, traditions can be wonderful. We probably all have different kinds of traditions. I mean, when I was growing up, I guess you could call it a tradition, every Sunday, spaghetti. Every Sunday, without fail. And so that meant every Monday we have leftover spaghetti. So twice a week spaghetti. I'm into that. You know, as a tradition. So, you know, traditions can be wonderful unless they contradict the word of God. Then that's no deal. So look at his opinion of God's word. What did Jesus think? He placed the word of God above any tradition that would be contrary to God's word. In John chapter 5, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, John 5, 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment's just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He, talking about John, was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, they testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And don't think that I'm going to accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. You know, they were always bringing it up. Well, Moses said this. Well, you know. Yeah, I'll tell you who's going to accuse you. Moses, whom you trust. For had you believed Moses. Now, Moses wasn't living then, was he?
No.
So what's he referring to? The word of God that Moses wrote. First five books of the Bible. Right? There is one, back in verse 45, that accuses you. Moses, the word of God, in whom you trust. For had you believed what Moses wrote, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? I would say that Jesus Christ knew the scriptures, wouldn't you? I mean, at age 12, what do we see at the very beginning of this teaching? At age 12, he's sitting there with the doctors, listening and then asking questions, and they were kind of amazed. Look at look at Luke chapter 24. Let's see how well he knew the scriptures. Luke 24. This, of course, in Luke 24 is the day when people first saw Jesus Christ resurrected in his resurrected body, this beautiful Sunday. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they could not know him. So in his resurrected body, he just could look different if he wanted to. Won't that be fun when we get our new bodies? I don't know. Anyway, they didn't know who was walking with them. Okay. So verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you just a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? What, did you just get into town? And Jesus Christ himself goes, well, what things? Well, they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, we had really hoped, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was the Messiah. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. It's over. He's gone. Jesus Christ said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to what?
Believe
all that the prophets have spoken. O fools and slow of heart to believe the written word of God. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses. That would have to be Genesis, right? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He did that with no scrolls. He didn't have a really nice iPad, you know, with unlimited data where he could just scroll. Here's another verse. Here's another verse. He didn't have Dan's handy little search tool to go through. They're walking, no scrolls. Every scripture pertaining to himself on the way. How did he know all of those? He made the time to study and rightly divide God's word. It's like last week when we looked at that verse. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. He made the time. He studied the word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we spend a lifetime putting God's word in our head. Be nice to be able to do what he did, right? Take a walk with somebody and go, I'd like to share with you all the verses pertaining to Jesus Christ. Wow. Mm-hmm. Genesis 3:15. Starting there. Amazing, isn't it? And then, just a short time later, after these guys, you know, they sat down to eat and he broke bread and then he vanished out of their sight. And they're like, what does that verse say? Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? The first thing Jesus wanted to do after he was resurrected was open the scriptures to people. The scriptures, the word of God. So important to him. A short time later when they returned back, and then verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. Ah! You know, if somebody would just all of a sudden be over on that couch, we wouldn't count that as, oh, somebody just appeared. I think we might, you know. Anyway, they were affrighted and afraid. Verse 38, and he said unto them, why are you so troubled? Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see. I'm not a spirit, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. We will get bodies fashioned like unto his glorious resurrected body, flesh and bones. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, you know, they're still, he said, okay, you got any food? Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. They're watching him. Look, I can eat. So he's just trying to settle them down, you know. It's me. I'm here. Look at my hands and feet. Touch me. I'm not a spirit. Yeah, but okay, got any food? Okay. All right, everybody settled down? Good. Now he can get to what he wants to get to. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Man, isn't that something? On this momentous occasion of them seeing the risen Christ, he taught them the word of God. So how important did Jesus Christ think the word of God was? There's a lot of stuff he could have talked to them about, right? Could have told them about stuff the Roman soldiers did to him. You know, could have talked about all the pain that he went through. Could have talked about his last moments. You know, could have talked about a lot of things, but it was like, word of God, word of God, word of God. And then, verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So what did Jesus Christ think about the coming gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, once again, he's talking to them about it. Remember he shared with Nicodemus, except a person is born again, born from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And remember the Samaritan woman that he told her, the time is coming, it's almost here, when they, the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you can see in other places in the Gospels where Jesus Christ taught his disciples about the coming of Holy Spirit, especially at the Last Supper. It came up a number of times. And here again, just hours after he'd been raised from the dead, Holy Spirit is coming. In fact, it was the very last thing he said before he ascended. Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. If he thought that highly of the gift of Holy Spirit coming, then as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians, we ought to have a high opinion of the gift of Holy Spirit. And there are some Christians that go, that was for the first century. I was talking to Scott about that. Someone had said, yeah, that was for the first century. And so the question that I would have is, so after the year 99, then it's no longer applicable? If it was just for the first century, at the turn of the century, not applicable anymore. That doesn't make any sense. This is just for till we get to year 100. Doesn't make any sense. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. Very last thing he said. Going to receive power. So, what did Jesus Christ think about the coming of the gift of Holy Spirit? That it was extremely important. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, no wonder we're interested in gaining an understanding of the Holy Spirit field, of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. It's the gift that was shed abroad. That Peter said, he that God raised him from the dead, and he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. And the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So no wonder we're interested in it. No wonder we want to, grow in our knowledge of it. So Philippians 2, we'll go back to where we started to close. Philippians chapter 2. And again, there's a lot of other things we could have looked at that Jesus thought. But what did he think? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. What did Jesus think? He thought the coming gift of the Holy Spirit was extremely important. He was very knowledgeable of God's word. He studied God's word. He spake God's word. He spoke God's word with great confidence. He had the highest regard and reverence for God and his word. He said God's word is the truth. And he said it's God speaking to you. And he placed God and his word above all else, above family, above tradition, above government, above culture, above everything else. God and his word, highest priority. So, let this mind be in you and in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, how grateful we are to you for sending your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for your plan of redemption and salvation that he carried out and that he always did your will. And Father, we're so thankful for that gift of Holy Spirit that you freely made available to us and that it's so easy for us to get born again of that Spirit. And Father, as now children of the Most High God, sons of God, heirs and joint heirs, may we be about our Father's business. May we let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And Father, may we just continue to grow and walk with you, knowing that you are with us, that nothing can separate us from your love. And Father, as we wait for that great day when you send Jesus Christ back, may we just endeavor to do our best to be faithful to you and your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.